Our next subject is the matter of what we call crucial communication. Crucial communication. And we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and reading from verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Those are great words. And my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, Zavis Brandes estimates that 80% of all serious controversies in life arise as a result of miscommunication. No one knows what anyone's saying anymore, says Mr. Brandes. Now, Robert Frost has an amusing spin on the problem when he says, half the world is composed of people who have something to say and can't, while the other half have nothing to say and keep on saying it. Well, I suppose there's a sense in which that is true. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Evangelists are communicators. This is one of your great assets, your ability to communicate truth in a way that causes people to respond to the message that you have. In the United States, there's a company called Kruger Co. And the CEO of the company gave this word to one of his salesmen. Well, I suppose to a number of his salesmen, he said, you need to present your product in such a way that they'll be more anxious to buy it than you are to sell it. Let me repeat that. Addressing a group of salesmen, he said, you need to present your product in such a way that they'll be more anxious to buy it than you are to sell it. Now, as an evangelist, your job is to communicate. Whether it be on the person-to-person basis, whatever level, it's to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that people will be more anxious to buy it, to receive it, than you are even to present it. Now, there's some basic assumptions that I want us to lay down as we look at the subject of crucial communication. The first is that God has given you privilege, opportunity, and responsibility. God has given to you as an evangelist privilege. He has given opportunity as well as the responsibility of the discharge of eternal truth. That's a basic assumption. So when you rise to preach, it's a tremendous privilege. It's a great opportunity, but a solemn responsibility to declare the whole counsel of God in a way that people can understand it. Number two, we need to also realize that people have given their time and attention to you. People have given their time and attention to listen to you. Never be guilty of stealing someone else's time. I have quite a thing about that because I'm just amazed how people will gladly rob others of their time and keep them waiting and misuse their time and abuse their time. As a preacher, you need to remember that people have given you their time and attention. Number three, you have been endowed with gifts and ministry, and a ministry. God has given to you a gift. There's no doubt about it. He's given to you a vital ministry that affects the eternal destiny of the souls of men and women. Therefore, you need make no apology for the ministry that you exercise. It's a call upon your life, but you have the most important message in all the world. Number four, because of this, you need fear no man. You are God's man for the hour. You go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just repeat that. You need fear no man. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated no matter who is sitting in the audience. You are God's man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And as one preacher said, when he walks to the pulpit, he feels himself going like a sheep to the slaughter. because of the how solemn the occasion is. So, but you need to fear no man. You are God's man for that moment. It's a divine appointment. And there are people that desperately need the gospel. The Holy Spirit has promised to use you. The Holy Spirit has promised to use you. But how do we communicate the gospel? That's the word, that's the challenge. The Holy Spirit has promised to use you, but how do we communicate the gospel? Number six, you have a message from God that people need to hear. Therefore, it doesn't matter who's in the audience, you're there to preach the gospel. You have a message from God. Number one, God has given you a privilege, opportunity, and responsibility. You have people have given you their time and attention. You've been endowed with gifts and ministry. You need fear no man. You are God's man for the occasion. The Holy Spirit has promised to use you, but how do we communicate the gospel? You have a message from God. When I say man here, I mean it in the plural sense, in the non-gender sense. So remember this. These are basic assumptions. Remember the story of a young preacher that after he had graduated from seminary, he found himself in a university city and attending the church with different professors from the university. And he was a little bit intimidated by their presence. And he wrote back to his dad. He said, you know, I just don't know what to preach on, because if I use an illustration from history, I've got the history professor sitting in front of me and he knows everything about history. If I try and use something scientific, I've got a number of scientists sitting there listening to me. If I try and refer to medical science, I've got doctors all over the place. And if I try and improve my English, I've got some wonderful elocutionists and masters in the field of the English language. I just don't know what to preach on. Well, his father wrote back to him and said, well, my son, when you stand before this group of educated people, and learn people, just preach the gospel, because they probably know very little about that. I'm amazed how little people understand the gospel. Many of them are still controlled by a feeling that the whole gospel hinges around the works, and it certainly does not. Now, these are the basic assumptions as you rise to preach the gospel, as you share the good news. Number one, we communicate the gospel with authority. With authority. The Bible says, Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. We need to pray and pray until we hear God. Because then you receive a message from God and you stand up and you're the most important person in the world because you're conveying an eternal truth. Dr. Sid Bunnell has said, if you are preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the hearers will hear another voice. That's what they need to hear. Not only your voice, but that other voice that echoes through, that captivates their attention. We need to be mastered by the word, and how true this is. This will come out in your preaching. And herein lies your authority, as you are mastered by the word. Remember to keep to the point. The worst thing you can ever do is listening to somebody who's trying to tell you something and keeps wandering from the point he's trying to say. And I remember one person was giving a lecture, and he went on and on and on and on, and someone left the auditorium, and as he was leaving, somebody was coming back and saying, has he finished yet? He said, yes, he has finished. He finished long ago. He's just busy talking. Another preacher got up to preach and said, now, before I preach, I've got something important to say. So we are there to speak with authority, but you can undermine the authority by getting off track and allowing your mind to dwell on other insignificant issues that are not related to what you're trying to drive at as you preach the gospel. And one has to be aware of that. Then preach the gospel with simplicity. Preach the gospel with simplicity. If we shoot over their heads, it only proves we had bad aim. If we shoot over their heads, it only proves that we had bad aim. As far as Jesus was concerned, the common people heard him gladly. Why? Because he spoke their language. I remember being in Russia and we had our great sermons and all the rest of it, and in the middle of the sermon they would interrupt and stop us from preaching and say, can you start again? We haven't a clue what you're talking about. Yeah, we can with all our great theological terms, terms irrelevant to the person sitting out there with a bleeding heart, with a broken spirit that desperately needs a message of hope. Simply outline. Use a simple outline of points. Use three simple points, or four points, or maybe five at the most, but simply and clear that all can understand. Use simple terminology, terminology that people can understand, can latch onto. Most folks do not understand heavy theological terminology. And whereas this might sound very impressive in terms of your command of the English language and your the vastness of your vocabulary, it doesn't impress those that are laymen and want to understand. The worst thing you can do is listen to two doctors talking, use all kinds of terminology, and eventually say, please tell me what that means. Simple faith. The evangelist does not need to have an answer to all the problems of theology, but needs to have an answer to the basic needs of lost men and women, whereby people will cry out, what must I do to be saved? Simple faith. So you preach the gospel with simplicity. Then we preach with repetition. Dr. James Deanery of Glasgow said Jesus probably repeated himself more than 500 times when referring to the gospel. The gospel is news to the multitudes. Preach with repetition, not for the sake of filling up time, but driving home a point, stating a case, bringing it in from different angles, different ways to illustrate that point, and you're using repetition so when people leave, they know this is what he was seeking to say. Number four, preach with urgency. Preach for a decision. So much is at stake. Preach with urgency. Preach for a decision. So much is at stake. It could be the last time you will ever preach. It could be the last time some person may ever hear the gospel. People are searching for hope, searching for an answer. Remember, you only live in the eternal now. You have no command over yesterday, and you certainly have no command over tomorrow. Preach with a sense of urgency as you stand as dying men to dying men, preaching a message of hope to a world that is so lost, so sick, and longing for some truth to hold on to. We communicate the gospel by a holy life. Is your life holy? Don't allow your daily life or your home life or things that happen in your personal life to disqualify the message you're preaching. You see, there are three avenues of attack these days: money, morals, or me, or gold, goals, or glory. All these lead to pride within a person's life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life have destroyed many, many a preacher. Protect your personal life, especially those evangelists on the road, as you're out there, staying in different places, different homes, different hotels, different motels, and you're on your own. Remember, what you are on your own is what you are, and you are no greater than that. Stop living behind a mask. Stop being one person at home and another person in the pulpit. Stop being one person in private and another person in public. Don't allow the one to contradict the other. We communicate by our love of people, our love of people. John 13:35 said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The worst thing is to sit there and hear an evangelist criticizing another evangelist, tearing him down, belittling him, and attacking unfairly. We need to show love for each other and for those round about us. Why? God so loved the world. God loved you and loved me. There's nothing about you or nothing about me that can make him love us more or less. His love is unconditional. Do we love Jesus? Is there concern? A man witnessed to a lady, and he asked in the lobby of a hotel, excuse me, do you know Christ? And she related this back to her husband. When she said that, the husband replied, didn't you tell him to mind his own business by asking you that question, do you know Christ? But my dear, she said, if you had seen the expression on his face and heard the earnestness of which he spoke, you would have thought it was his business. That's how serious it ought to be. It is our business. We're under a divine mandate. There's a call upon your life. There's a day of accountability. Number 7, we communicate the gospel by a compassionate social concern. By a compassionate social concern. Communicate the gospel by a compassionate social concern. You see, Jesus touched the leper, ministered to the hungry, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the unlovely. Jesus touched the leper, ministered to the hungry, the sick, the dying, the lonely, and the unlovely. You see, it's so easy to get lost in our ivory towers and forget the needs of the people out there. It's so easy to just treat yourself as a guest visitor to the church. Are we prepared to go where the people are? That's why Dale Moody was partially involved in the establishment of the Young Men's Christian Association. General Booth saw the desperate need of men and women in the streets of London and formed the Salvation Army. George Miller established orphanages. What amazing stories he tells of how those orphanages were blessed and provided for. Mary Slessor saw the need to clean out the prisons of Europe. She saw the conditions under which these people had to exist. Matthew 25, verse 34, even as through to verse 34 to 45. Even if you've done this unto the least of these little ones, you've done it unto me, said Jesus, referring to works of kindness and works of help to those in so many disadvantaged situations. We communicate the gospel by a compassionate social concern. Is there somebody you're helping? Is there some family you're helping? Is there some need that you are responding to? Yes, you preach in the gospel, but this is one of the ways that you preach the gospel to. One of our evangelists was working outside of a mine compound, and he was getting no one to listen to him. And then eventually he decided to try an experiment, and he polished the shoes of the men that came out of that compound. They all thought he was trying to charge, make money. But eventually they realized he was serious. One of the first men to have his shoes polished was a man who later became a preacher of the gospel, because he saw the love demonstrated by this man. Many accused this man and asked him how much money he was making. He said he didn't do it for a cent. He did it because he loved Jesus. Communicating the gospel by a compassionate social concern. Number 8, we communicate the gospel by our unity of the Spirit. We communicate the gospel by our unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4 verse 3, the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says, if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? What kind of voice, what kind of message is conveyed to our cities and to our towns by the presence of the Church of Jesus Christ? When we rise in our pulpits, do we stand as the Church of Jesus in that particular kind of community? Yes, we need... The world needs to hear the voice of God through the church. The world needs to hear the voice of God through the church. Is this coming through? Yes, there could be, I know this can be to imbalances, but we're doing it in the name of Jesus and for his sake and with the hope of sharing Christ's love with people. After all, someone shared his love with us. Somebody once asked those who have life-controlling problems, where would they go for help? Life-controlling problems, addictions, different kinds of addictions. Where would you go for help? To which the reply came, 8% would go to the church. I wonder where the rest would go. Isn't that sad to think that the one institution that has the solution to the problems of mankind, representing the God of the universe, if he made us, he can maintain us, he can build us up, he can redeem us. Only 8% go to the church. They don't trust the church. And so we looked at this important issue of crucial communication. Let me just run through those headings again. Number 1, we communicate the gospel with authority. Authority. Number 2, we preach the gospel with simplicity. Number 3, we preach with repetition. Number 4, we preach with urgency. Number 5, we communicate the gospel by a holy life. Number 6, we communicate by our love of people. Number 7, we communicate the gospel by a compassionate social concern. Number 8, we communicate the gospel by our unity of the Spirit. How important that is, to communicate the gospel by the unity of our spirits. So I trust that God will make you, as you listen to this and make your notes, a true and effective communicator of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a message. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, said Paul. It is the power of God unto salvation. What a wonderful word that is. God bless you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, I commit everyone that's listening to this program that you will stir our hearts to make us effective communicators of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that all who hear might repent, believe, and discover the glorious reality of what it means to walk with you. Use us, we pray you. Teach us how to rightly divide the word of truth as we seek to serve you in this capacity. In Jesus' name, amen.